Flying High on Locked On Eagles, your source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis, brought to you by LockedOnEagles.com. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my work for Inside the Pylon, where I do X's and O's. You can also follow my work at BreakingFootball.com, where I cover fantasy football and the NFL draft. You can also follow me at Michael Kist NFL on Twitter. As always, I am joined by the best co-host in the game, Mr. 7 Year Streak Without a Bad Day. You can follow his Eagles work at Bleeding Green Nation. You can also follow his draft work at NDT Scouting and follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K, Ben. How you doing, brother?
Every day is a good day to be alive, Mike. We've got a NFC playoff sort of talk to look at. Aaron Rodgers out for the rest of the season. So like, it doesn't feel like another big injury because obviously he had already been injured, already kind of been lost for the season. But now there's no hope of Rodgers in the playoffs. And a year riddled by injury just gets more and more bleak as the day goes on, man. But it's okay. It's all going to be all right.
Yeah, with the Falcons win, the Packers were mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, and I think the Packers made the right decision by shutting him down, also raising or hoping to raise Brett Hundley's trade value. Maybe he'll be fighting with Nick Foles for who wants to trade for a quarterback along with AJ McCarron. We'll see how that all plays out. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that in the offseason. However, what I do want to talk about real quick before we go into some quick Raiders talk, we are doing our Locked On Raiders crossover with Bill Williamson from Locked On Raiders. That'll be up in a moment. First, man, NFC playoff picture, things are getting interesting. Here's the deal. Eagles win one, and they get that first round bye and the coveted home field advantage, which, as we pointed out, the defense plays much better at home. Plus, the overall home field advantage for the Eagles would be gigantic considering everything that's up against us right now. One team that I want to highlight is the Cowboys, because everyone hates the Cowboys. So here's the deal with the Cowboys. They play the Seahawks this week. What they need to do is win, go 2-0 in the next two games, so they need to beat the Eagles as well. Then they need to hope for the Falcons or the Panthers to go 0-2 in the next two games. Now, the Falcons and Panthers play week 17, so it's only possible for one of those teams to go 0-2. So they need both of them to lose this week if either the Falcons or the Panthers wins, if I'm understanding it correctly, and they'll be watching from their couch. And that's a beautiful thing, Ben.
Yeah, it absolutely is a beautiful thing. And like we talked about way back when we were doing our preview show, man, when we were making our playoff predictions, so on and so forth, both of us had the Dallas Cowboys making the playoffs. So it will be certainly something if the Cowboys don't make it at all. Eagles, the only team represented from the NFC East, of course. Washington eliminated from playoff contention only recently. The Giants have been eliminated for quite some time, which is wonderful. But yeah, if we go ahead and we look at how Philadelphia's defense does when they're at home compared to as where they're away, right? Obviously, up to this point, we've had significantly more away games than we have had home games. And so the numbers are a little bit skewed. But if you're talking rush defense, home, they're significantly better. 2.8 compared to 4.2 yards per attempt allowed passing, 5.8 to 6.4. The opposing quarterback rate, 74.2 to 82.9. I mean, by all marks you can currently use it this season, which are kind of those rate marks because volume stats won't work until it's 8 games on both sides.
Right.
Yeah, Philadelphia's defense significantly better as it is at home. They've allowed far fewer points as well. And so it's a big deal for Philadelphia. They had that first round bye locked up. But yeah, you win against Oakland, and obviously we'll be previewing Oakland for the rest of the week. You bring home that number one seed in the NFC. You lock that up week 16. Now, I'm interested what you think about this, Mike. Doug Peterson has yet to kind of say whether or not he would play his starters week 17 if Philadelphia seals up home field advantage in week 16. We're at the point where he hasn't said anything about this, right? He's non-committal. He'll say that he's considering it. We've already said on our show, you know, multiple times, we would play the starters all the way through week 17. But I realized we talked mostly about the offense and kind of keeping the offense on pace and making sure that Foles was comfortable. Do you think about sitting your defense at all? Do you think about maybe, you know, you keep the starting offense out there to give Foles that time? I think that would be perfectly reasonable. I think your starting wide receivers and tight ends and running backs would understand that. But do you consider giving the defense a rest and kind of like, you know, giving one unit that break and the other unit keeping them on the field at all?
I think there's something to be said for trying out different linebacker combinations with the starters to see what fits us for the playoffs until we get that figured out, because that was a big bugaboo for us, as we pointed out in yesterday's show. If you didn't listen to it, go back and check that out. But yeah, I think the linebacking crew needs more playing time together. I mean, do you really need to play Fletcher Cox in week 17? I don't think so. Same with Jernigan. Same with Graham. Barnett can play, Long can get extra snaps. The secondary, you can kind of rotate guys in and out. So I would really say the linebackers, it would be nice for them to be together unless Bradham really needs a rest or Kendricks really needs a rest. Because, I mean, really, other than you're looking at 3 weeks, if you don't play them week 17, you got the week going into week 17, you got the bye week, and then, you know, another week until you play again. So 3 weeks off, I think it would be good to get either Good in there or Walker in there or even LRB in there with the starters, work on the communication issues and get that down because that's been really bad for us.
No, that makes sense. I definitely hear that as well. I like the idea of trying out different combinations of working on different deployments, as we've talked about, you know, a lot in the past two shows, and a lot of our listeners have agreed with us and enjoyed the insight in the sense that, you know, Philadelphia really needs to riddle out how they're working that defensive backfield clearly, because some of the issues that maybe were masked in earlier weeks of the season have shown up more and more. Yeah, I think Philadelphia needs to play their defenders as well. And then also, I think it's tough for the locker room to tell the offensive line they have to play another week, yeah, tell the defensive line that they get to rest and everything like that. So when it comes down to it, will Peterson put all of his starters out there? Yes, I think, you know, if
reduced snaps, you know,
right? Yeah, you've had like, you know, you've had like, for example, Zach Ertz has been on the injury report on and off on Wednesdays because of a hamstring. Zach Ertz probably won't play,
right?
Spot situations, yes, but I think, you know, Philadelphia seals up home field here against Oakland. I think that you still will see those starters in week 17, and then obviously if they lose at Oakland with home field on the line week 17, Dallas coming to town, you'll see the starters in a big way.
Yeah, speaking of Oakland, let's set this up real quick before we kick it over to the crossover. Last year, the Raiders go 12-4, and in the last week of the season, Derek Carr is in the game maybe a little bit too long. So it's kind of dovetails nicely with the conversation that we're having. Breaks his ankle, and they end up playing Connor Cook in the playoffs. They obviously lose to the Texans in that situation. This year, expectations were really high for them, even though they were fielding the same terrible defense that probably got worse throughout the season. They're 6-8 right now. I think some of that has to do with the fact, at least with Carr, because there was a big debate in the summer about Carr, where you had him ranked, so on and so forth. I had him ranked maybe in the top 12, like in that sort of area. I didn't think he was elite. At the same time, you miss out when you're rehabbing on training camp and working with those guys and building that chemistry and all that type of stuff, being away from the building. Same thing happened with Mariota. Both of those guys, not coincidentally, have struggled this year. It's something to look forward to and to track with Carson Wentz as we move forward. However, Carson Wentz looks really, really involved with everything that's going on in the building with the players, and he's been there every step of the way while he rehabs, so maybe that won't be an issue for us. But yeah, Ben, what do you think about the Raiders' total letdown of the season after such high expectations this year?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, and I'm excited for you guys to hear what Bill has to say in this when we get to the interview, because I did ask him about that, talking about Derek Carr and the effect that injury had on his ability to get into training camp and kind of where, you know, that coaching staff might be at the end of the year, who might be staying, who might be going. Obviously, Jack Del Rio did fire defensive coordinator Ken Norton Jr. this year. There's been a lot of shakeup in the coaching staff, and they're going to have to figure out what to do in that regard. Remember, ex-quarterbacks coach under Chip Kelly, Bill Musgrave, was the offensive coordinator for the Raiders during that 12-4 season. He was not retained. And now all of a sudden, Oakland is 6-8. Offense has really, really fallen off the rails. So I'm excited. Bill provides a lot of great insight. This Oakland's in a very unique situation just as an NFL franchise in general, because they're paying their guy like he's their franchise quarterback, and he was producing like a franchise quarterback, and all of a sudden, like I said, wheels are off, and they've got to, you know, find a way to build around him to keep him productive, but they got a lot of good pieces there, so you're kind of wondering what the issue is. Oakland's an interesting franchise, and so it's going to be very fun to get to be able to pick Bill's brain about what's happening.
And before we kick it over to that, Ben, why don't you tell our gentle listeners about our friends over at Draft.com.
The Locked On Podcast Network, again, has another fantastic sponsor. This is Draft, all right? This is Draft Wednesday here on the Locked On Network. So if you're a fantasy football fan and you're like me and Jameis did not get you your 6 touchdowns that you needed to get into the championship, Draft is what you want. Over 500,000 people have already downloaded Draft. So you're playing in a real-life snake draft, right? But it's similar to those auction things, DraftKings and FanDuel, where it only lasts for 1 week. And in this snake draft, it'll last maybe about 5 minutes, even less often. You can join one right now for week 16. Really, only 2 weeks left of the regular season to get this done. And then there'll be playoff games as well. But your time is running out. You're playing for cold, hard cash, and you're 80% more likely to win than you are on salary cap sites. So what you'll have to do on the Locked On Network, the promo code is LONFL. All right. And you're going to put that promo code in when you sign up with your draft account. You'll be entered into a real money draft for free when you use this promo code with your first deposit. So again, the promo code LONFL. Draft is so positive that you'll enjoy it that they're even offering a 100% money back guarantee to Locked On Eagles listeners. Fly Eagles fly. So search Draft in your app on your phone or go to draft.com online and you can play for free right now. The promo code is LONFL.
All right, and I am here with Bill Williamson of Locked On Raiders. You can find him on Twitter at BWilliamsonNFL. And, of course, all the Locked On Raiders stuff, as with all things on the Locked On Network, that's going to be LockedOnRaiders.com. Bill, thank you so much for joining us, man. How you doing?
Oh, hey, thanks for having me. Happy holidays.
Hey, you as well. I do appreciate that. I'm excited to talk with you about the Raiders. I think this is a really interesting franchise as far as what's going on with it. Obviously, pretty much eliminated from playoff contention. Is there a path for you guys to get in, or is it a done deal?
The Raiders can get in. There's a lot of things that need to happen, including winning at Philadelphia on Monday night. There's about four or five different things that have to happen. I think the toughest are them winning in Philadelphia and then Miami beating the Chiefs in Kansas City on Sunday. The Chiefs seem to be a team that's got their stuff together and they have a chance to close out the division. So I expect a very focused Chiefs team in that game. So it's a tough road for the Raiders. But I tell you what, the Raiders have had a lot of breaks this season. It just seems like every week, Carson Wentz, there is a break for them. Last game, Ezekiel Elliott's suspension. And it goes on and on. And they really haven't been able to take advantage of it. You know, they were the Geno Smith game against the Giants. They were the Paxton Lynch game against the Denver Broncos. Wow. When they play bad teams and they get these breaks, it works. But when they play good teams, they can't take advantage of the breaks. So, you know, it may just be the Raiders' luck that Green Bay wins Saturday night against the Vikings and the Eagles have nothing to play for. That wouldn't shock me the way the Raiders' luck has gone. Again, they haven't been able to cash in, but they've had things fall their way.
How about that? Yeah, I don't think I've ever been a bigger Brett Hundley fan in my entire life. It's a peculiar situation to be in for sure. But listen, as far as, you know, Oakland having some good breaks, I think this might be one where it does fall your way. Reason being is that the Philadelphia defense has shown very few cracks. The biggest one being when they face the Giants, both in week 3 and week 15 this year against Philadelphia, the Giants have had their best offensive performances. And one of the main reasons is that really quick passing attack for the Giants. They get the ball out lightning fast, a lot of nickel and dime, sort of death by a thousand paper cuts sort of an offense. Now, the only quarterback that gets the ball out faster than Eli Manning is Derek Carr in this Oakland offense. And he's got the playmakers that, you know, maybe the Giants didn't have this past week 15. He's got Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree, Cordarrelle Patterson is dangerous after the catch, Jared Cook, the tight end. Philadelphia corners have been struggling against these sort of attacks. Do you think that Oakland maybe has the offense to really put some points on Philadelphia? They can hang with the Eagles offense?
Well, you know, the Raiders aren't really excited that Derek Carr is getting the ball out faster than the league. It's not really considered a positive. They feel like he's rushing the ball. It's part of their offensive lack of identity and unevenness. You know, we don't know if Amari Cooper is going to play this week. They don't practice until Thursday. He didn't play last week. He's been banged up with an ankle injury. I mean, it's an interesting point that you make, and I think there are yards for the Raiders to move the ball. But, I mean, this passing game has only been on really once, and that was against Kansas City, I think, on that Thursday night game in October. So maybe, you know, I do think the Raiders can get some passing yardage going. I don't know if you can trust the Raiders' offense because it's been pretty untrustworthy for almost the entire year.
No, I hear that. It's definitely been a struggle. Let's flip it over to the defense then. Maybe there's something to trust there. I know that Ken Norton Jr., he was the defensive coordinator. It was really rough there for a while. Eventually, they moved on from him. Since then, John Pagano takes over the defense. Oakland's gone 2-2. It's improved a little bit from a yardage perspective. I looked at the numbers. I, of course, haven't seen a lot of the tape. I haven't been following the Raiders. You have. So is Pagano doing something different? Is this defense really playing a little bit tighter? Are they maybe a little bit more motivated under a new coordinator? Do they have a chance here? Because that Philly offense didn't look like it dropped a dime, you know, transitioning from Carson Wentz to Nick Foles. It ran like a well-oiled machine, so they've got a tough test up ahead.
I'd still rather have Carson Wentz. I'm sure the Raiders would rather play Nick Foles. And, you know, Nick Foles threw 7 touchdowns against the Raiders in 2013. You know, the franchise will have he'll have their attention. The numbers are a little better over Pagano. They had 14 sacks under Norton. They have 14 sacks in 4 games under Pagano. All 4 interceptions have come under Pagano. Again, I thought it was a perfect time to make that move for as far as momentum and just getting people's attention, because that was after a New England debacle. And then they played bad offense in Denver, bad offense in the Giants. And the defense did play better against these really bad offenses. And then they've played better units against Dallas and Kansas City. I think this unit isn't bad in the red zone. It tightens up when it needs to. It's not horrible, but it still gives up a lot of big plays. And I don't know if it's good enough to really lead to a win. For the Raiders to win games, the offense has to be clicking. And that's the way the problem is. Associated Press had a great stat this week. The Raiders are 6-0 when they score more than 20 points. 0-8 when they score less than 20 points. So really, there's the rub for you.
No, and that's very interesting. Philadelphia, under Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson, have a very similar stat at the number 24. If they score more than 24 points, I think they've only been beaten once now, maybe the number is, but they score less than 24, the number's really bad. So it's funny to find those little benchmarks for teams. I'll ask you straight out then, Bill. You know, obviously you've said tough to trust this offense. Defense has improved, but you're not sure if there's enough there. Philadelphia opens as about a 9-point favorite there against the Oakland Raiders at home. Over-under is about 47.5. So Philly, big favorite there in the game. Do you see a path for victory? You know, obviously, like you said, maybe the Vikings fall to the Packers. This Eagles offense isn't as motivated. You know, they don't have much to play for. If the Raiders were to somehow win this game, you know, how could they possibly do it? And then I'll have to ask you for your prediction. If you think it'll actually come down?
Well, I mean, the way for the Raiders to win this game is for Foles to implode, for defensive passing game to have another really, really bad outing, and for Raiders to win the turnover, you know, ratio like 2-3-0. So I think anybody can win any game in the NFL. But even with Nick Foles, I like the Eagles winning this game. The Raiders just don't play winning football against good teams. At least they haven't this year.
I hear you. And it's been tough. And like you said, at least this year, they haven't played those games. It's really crazy to look at. 2016, 12-4. Jack Del Rio's getting some you know, a coach of the year hype. You know, Derek Carr gets big money contract. He looks like he's going to be the franchise quarterback. Obviously, you have the injury, and then he misses training camp. That's something Philadelphia fans are acutely aware of, because we're worried that Carson Wentz is going to miss some training camp, and he might have a rocky start to his 2018 season, the way that Carr has struggled this year. You know, I'm kind of curious. You've got an impending move to Las Vegas on the horizon as well. I just want to know more about, you know, looking past 2017, you know, you got the draft coming up a few years down the road. What do you see happening for this franchise? Is the coaching staff going to remain under Del Rio? Because it seems like his seat's got a little bit hot. Carr's obviously got the money to be the franchise quarterback. Are you sold that he's the guy? Because he's struggled this season. You know, McKenzie there, obviously the GM, he's a storied guy. He's been established for a long time. Is it time to move on? What moves do you think they make in the big picture?
Well, you know, I thought the Raiders were set up for to be a contender for now and into the future, but they have some holes. You know, they didn't really make a lot of fixes in the offseason defensively, so they have those holes. The offensive line may not be quite as good as they thought. Receiver, Amari Cooper has had a rotten year, maybe the single most disappointing player in the NFL. Marshawn Lynch is going to be 32 next year. He's not going to be around forever. So there's more holes than I thought there was going to be. I think there's more holes than they thought there were going to be. And you don't know about, I mean, Jack Del Rio just got a contract extension in January for 4 years. Mark Davis is not the most, cash-rich owner in the NFL. He'll help them when they get to Vegas, but he's not there yet. So I don't know if he would fire Jack Del Rio, even when they go 6-10. So Todd Downing, the offensive coordinator, will probably go 1-done, and that'll be just... But that, you know, that falls on Del Rio, because Bill Musgrave led the number 6 offense last year in the NFL. They went 12-4. The offense was dynamic, and they fired him because he wanted to promote Downing from quarterback coach because he thought he could lose him. So, I mean, if Downing gets fired, that's a really big admission of a failure by the head coach. So, yeah, it could be a really interesting next month or so in Oakland.
Yeah, and we know Musgrave. We were talking about it on a previous show. Obviously, he was here in the Chip Kelly era, a really sharp mind, and then went to Oakland, found success. I mean, I was happy for him. Philadelphia was in general. And then, yeah, things kind of took a left turn there with Oakland. And hey, I know at least I'm rooting for you. I want to see that franchise do well. I want to see Derek Carr do well. I might not root for you this week, though, if you'll permit me that. Bill, thank you so much.
I'm not a Raider fan. I'm a reporter, so I'm not rooting for anybody either.
All right. Well, I respect that. Hey, I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much. Again, that was Bill Williamson at BWilliamsonNFL on Twitter. Find all of us up on Locked On Raiders. Bill, good luck to you moving forward, man. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Ben, and we are back. Nice talk with Bill Williamson. Sorry I couldn't make it for that.
That's okay. You weren't holding me down. It was good.
is that what it is?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, man. Boy, oh boy, we are going to have some words after we are off the air. I should just leave it recording.
Yeah, I'm going to regret that. It's okay.
Ben, let the gentle listeners know what else we have on tap for the rest of the week. Are we doing pick a prospect and game time decisions tomorrow? Because I feel like it'd be a good day for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're picking a prospect and game time decisions. I'm telling you, after this little nugget we've uncovered talking about safety depth and linebackers for Philadelphia, you can be sure that linebackers and safeties are going to show up with pick a prospect, where that's our segment. We take a look at some draft eligible players. Mike and I both do a lot of draft work around the year, so we know, you know, kind of the ins and outs. We've got a few guys on whom we have our eyes, so we'll be talking about them, prospective targets for Philadelphia to potentially draft. Also, game time decisions on Thursday as well. Always a fun segment. Make sure you catch that. Friday, looking for potentially bringing a guest on. He will remain nameless up until this point, until we're confirmed, but he's a great Raiders mind. He's an excellent X and O's analyst as well, and so hopefully we'll be able to bring him on Friday, get deeper into Oakland and what you can see from them schematically, so that you know what you're watching. You can sound super impressive when you're watching, you know, that nice, you know, cute young lady who watches next to you. She'll be very impressed. Monday, we're previewing. Monday night, we're playing the Oakland Raiders.
Hey, we are opening up the Twitter mailbag as well tomorrow, so be on the lookout.
Yes, thank you, Mike.
At Locked On Eagles, we'll have that for you. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Kist NFL. Follow Ben at Benjamin Solak. That's Solak. Remember, keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Ta-ka!
There it is.